Imagine waking up in a place that shouldn't exist. No body, no time, no past, no future. Just a vast, endless awareness. You don't know how you got here. You don't even know if here is real. And then, just as suddenly, you're back. Back in your body, back in the world. But something's different. The moment your eyes opened, you know nothing will ever make sense again. Because everything you thought was real was wrong. This is the mystery of consciousness. And this changes everything. Dr. Eben Alexander, a Harvard-trained neurosurgeon, faced something that defied every principle of modern neuroscience. A bacterial infection shut down his brain completely. By all medical accounts, he should have had no thoughts, no memories, no experiences, nothing. And yet, something happened. While his brain was offline, he saw something. A place beyond time. A realm beyond human understanding. And when he returned, everything he believed about the mind, everything science had taught him, was shattered. Alexander had spent his career believing that consciousness was merely a byproduct of the brain. That when the brain dies, so does the mind. But his experience told a different story. For 7 days, his neocortex, the part of the brain responsible for thinking, memory, and logic, was completely shut down. He was clinically unconscious. Yet, he later described the journey so vivid, so hyperreal, that it defied explanation. He spoke of a world beyond this one, of a presence that guided him, of a vast intelligence beyond comprehension. When he woke up, doctors were baffled. Scans showed no activity in the brain regions necessary for hallucinations, dreams, or even thought. According to science, his experience should not have been possible, and yet it was. His case forces us to ask a question. If the mind is separate from the brain, then where does consciousness exist? Is it stored in some unseen field? A place beyond the physical? And if so, could the answers have been hiding in quantum physics all along?
Oh yeah, sure. So, let me get this straight. This guy's brain was on vacation, completely clocked out, and yet he was out there having the ultimate VIP experience in the cosmic club. Meanwhile, I can't even remember where I left my car keys half the time. But no. Tell me more about how the brain is just some fancy meat processor and not possibly tapping into something bigger. Yeah, totally makes sense.
But here's the thing. Alexander isn't alone. There are others. And their stories, they are just as impossible. Most people would hear a story like Eben Alexander's and write it off. A hallucination, a trick of a dying brain, a comforting illusion. But then you hear about the others. Because Alexander isn't alone. There are more cases, more people who have seen the impossible. And their experiences, even harder to explain. Take Pam Reynolds, for example. Her case wasn't just medically documented, it was a scientific impossibility. In 2008, Pam Reynolds underwent a high-risk brain surgery. To operate safely, doctors lowered her body temperature to 60 degrees, stopped her heart, and drained the blood from her brain. By all medical definitions, she was dead. And yet, when she woke up, she described the surgery in perfect detail. She recalled the conversations doctors had while she was under. She remembered the exact surgical tools used, even though she should have been incapable of seeing or hearing anything. Scientists still don't know how she did it, but Pam Reynolds wasn't the only one. Dr. Tony Sicoria was an orthopedic surgeon, a man of pure science. He didn't believe in the supernatural. He didn't entertain mystical ideas. Then, in 1994, his entire worldview changed because he died. It happened on a quiet summer afternoon in New York. Sicoria was speaking to his mother on a payphone when out of nowhere, a bolt of lightning struck the booth. A direct hit. Witnesses saw his body fly backward, hitting the ground hard. No pulse, no breath. By every definition, he was dead. And yet, he was still there. Sicoria later recalled an out-of-body experience so vivid, so hyper-real, that it defied explanation. He found himself floating, watching as a stranger performed CPR on his lifeless body. But instead of fear, he was filled with pure peace. He felt himself pulled toward a brilliant, glowing light. Then, just like that, he was yanked back, slammed into his body, alive. But when he woke up, something was different. Sicoria, who had never played an instrument in his life, was suddenly obsessed with music. Not just any music, specific, complex piano compositions he had never heard before. He began composing original pieces in his head, playing them flawlessly despite having no formal training. One moment, he was a scientist. The next, a man who touched something beyond this world. Sicoria's case is astonishing, but it's not unique. And the more we dig, the stranger it gets. Because there are some near-death cases that should be impossible. Let's take the AWARE study. In 2014, researchers at the University of Southampton conducted the largest ever study on near-death experiences. They wanted to see if consciousness could survive beyond the body. The results? Disturbing. One case stood out. A 57-year-old man flatlined for over 3 minutes. His brain had completely shut down. No activity, no oxygen, and yet, when he was revived, he accurately described events that happened in the operating room, right down to the movements of the medical staff and specific sounds of the machines. Doctors had no explanation. How was he aware when his brain was clinically offline? And then, let's take the blind, for example. In multiple studies, blind patients who experienced near-death experiences reported seeing for the first time. One woman, born blind, accurately described the details of the operating room, the instruments, the people in it, things she had no physical ability to see. If consciousness is just a function of the brain, then this should not be possible.
Hold on. So you're telling me some people only start seeing after they die? Great. Meanwhile, I'm over here with perfectly working eyeballs, and I still can't find my car keys. Yeah, totally fair.
But these cases aren't just about perception. They go even deeper. Because sometimes the living aren't the only ones experiencing the moment of death. Take the phenomenon known as shared death experiences. These are moments when someone near a dying person, family, friends, even hospital staff, suddenly experiences something unexplainable. Some report seeing a mist-like form leaving the body at the exact moment of death. Others describe feeling a sudden surge of overwhelming love or peace, only to find out later that their loved one had passed at that exact instant. And then there's terminal lucidity. This is perhaps one of the strangest phenomena in medical history. Patients suffering from severe dementia or brain damage, people who haven't spoken in years, suddenly regain full awareness and clarity in the moments just before death. They recognize family. They speak in complete sentences. Their minds, which were completely lost, return just long enough to say goodbye. And then, just like that, they're gone. Medical science can't explain this. If their brains were too damaged to function, how did they suddenly regain consciousness? What woke them up? When you stack these cases together, a pattern begins to emerge. A pattern that suggests consciousness isn't what we think it is. Pam Reynolds, Dr. Tony Sicoria, the AWARE study, the blind who see, the shared death phenomenon, terminal lucidity. These are not just stories. These are documented events that defy every rule we thought we understood about the mind. So we have to ask the question, what if consciousness isn't inside the brain? What if, when the body shuts down, the mind simply moves on? Nearly a century before Eben Alexander's experience, another man was asking a different question. His name was Erwin Schrödinger, and like Alexander, what he discovered would challenge the very nature of reality. Schrödinger wasn't a mystic. He wasn't a philosopher. He was a physicist, a man of logic, equations, and hard science. But in the early 1920s, he found himself facing a problem that refused to obey the rules of the universe. Quantum particles didn't behave the way normal matter should. They didn't follow predictable paths. They seemed to exist in multiple places all at once, flickering in and out of certainty like ghosts in a machine. The math was impossible. The numbers refused to align. He tried every known equation, every law of physics that had held true for centuries. And still, the answer slipped through his fingers like sand.
Oh, great. Reality's just out here freeloading until we decide to look at it. I mean, what was it doing before? Was the universe just sitting around in its pajamas, waiting for someone to check in? This is why I hate quantum physics. You try to understand it, and suddenly, you're in a philosophical hostage situation.
Frustrated, Schrödinger did something unusual for a scientist. He walked away. He retreated to a secluded cabin in Switzerland, shutting out the world in search of clarity. And that's where, according to some accounts, something strange happened. A dream. Not just any dream. A vision so profound, so vivid, that when he woke up, he was no longer searching for answers. He had them. As if the universe had whispered the solution directly into his mind. He immediately grabbed the pen, hands moving frantically across the paper. He wasn't just solving an equation. He was unveiling a hidden truth about reality itself. That equation would later become the foundation of modern quantum mechanics, the Schrödinger wave equation. And what it suggested was terrifying. Reality doesn't truly exist until we observe it. Schrödinger's discovery wasn't just an abstract thought. Scientists wanted to test reality itself, again and again. And what they found was even stranger than anyone could have imagined. One experiment in particular would shake the foundation of physics. The double slit experiment. Alright, so picture this. A screen, two thin slits, a detector behind it. Now you fire a single particle, an electron or a photon, at the slits. You'd expect it to pass through one or the other, right? Yeah, no. Because if no one's watching, the particle acts like a wave. It goes through both slits at the same time and creates an interference pattern on the detector, as if it existed in multiple places at the same time. But the moment you place a detector there, just to check which slit it actually went through, boom, the wave collapses. The particle suddenly chooses one path, like it was waiting for you to notice before making up its mind. Reality shifts the second it is observed. If this was just a one-time fluke, scientists would have shrugged it off. But they didn't, because the experiment has been repeated over and over and over again. And it always works the same way. So what's going on? Is reality adjusting itself based on whether we're watching? And if that's true, then what does that say about consciousness? If the double slit experiment wasn't strange enough, physicist John Wheeler decided to push the insanity even further. The delayed choice experiment. Here's where it gets crazy. In this version of the experiment, a particle is sent toward the slits, but the decision to observe it is made after it has already passed through. Logically, that shouldn't matter. The particle should have already chosen what it was doing. But that's not what happens. The moment an observation is introduced, the particle retroactively changes its behavior, as if the future decision affected the past. Let that sink in for a second. This isn't some wild sci-fi concept. This is real, repeatable experimental physics. And it suggests that our choices, our observations, might be influencing reality itself. The double slit experiment showed us that particles exist in multiple places at once until we look in superposition. That raises an uncomfortable question. If reality doesn't fully exist until we observe it, then what's happening when we're not looking? Take a second, really think about it. Does the universe only render itself when we pay attention? Like a video game that loads the world around the player but leaves everything else outside the screen unfinished. And if the past can be rewritten based on choices made in the future, like we saw in the delayed choice experiment, then how do we know we aren't constantly rewriting history without realizing it? What if every time you remember something differently than it actually happened, it's because you actually changed it? And here's the most terrifying thought of all. What if the only reason reality remains stable is because we all believe it does? All right, let's test something. Right now, wherever you are, take a deep breath. Now think of someone you haven't talked to in a while. It could be a friend, a relative, anyone. Just hold their image in your mind for a moment. Got it? Okay, now watch what happens over the next 48 hours. If that person suddenly reaches out, if they message you, call you, or even if their name randomly pops up somewhere, you might just realize something. Maybe consciousness is more powerful than we think. Maybe we're all more connected than we realize. Or maybe we're about to prove that reality isn't as solid as it seems. And if nothing happens, maybe that's proof too. Maybe you weren't supposed to notice. We spend our lives searching for the universe's secrets, believing that if we look long enough, if we dig deep enough, we'll finally understand it. But what if we have it backwards? What if the universe isn't something we explore? What if it's something that's been watching us? And the real question isn't whether the universe is conscious, it's whether it's been waiting for us to notice. Alright, so we've talked about how reality might only exist when we observe it. We've talked about how the past might change based on the future. But what if I told you that two objects on opposite sides of the universe could be connected instantly? No signal, no delay, just connected. We've all been taught that the fastest anything can travel is the speed of light. That no matter what, information takes time to move from one place to another. But that's not always true, because there's something happening in the quantum world that shouldn't be possible, and yet it is. It's called quantum entanglement. Here's how it works. Take two particles, electrons, photons, whatever. Put them together. Now, separate them. Doesn't matter how far apart they are, 10 feet, 10 light years, or even across the entire universe. The moment you change something about one of them, the other instantly changes too. No signal, no transmission, no delay, just connection. Albert Einstein hated this. He called it spooky action at a distance because it broke the one rule that physics was supposed to follow. Things should not be able to affect each other faster than the speed of light. And yet, every time we test it, every single time, entanglement happens. Now let's take a step back, because this isn't just about particles. What if this is happening to us? Think about it. Have you ever sensed when someone was staring at you? Ever suddenly thought of someone right before they called or texted you? Ever walked into a room and instantly felt someone else's emotions before they even said a word? What if that wasn't coincidence? Some researchers believe that the human brain could be engaging in a type of biological entanglement, a connection that exists beyond space and time. Telepathy, intuition, even gut feelings. What if these are just glitches in the system? A sign that our minds are operating on a level we don't yet understand. Because here's the thing, if two particles can communicate instantaneously across the universe, why couldn't two minds? Now let's go bigger. What if it's not just one mind connecting to another? What if it's all of them? If entanglement exists at the quantum level, and if consciousness itself has any quantum properties, then it raises a terrifying possibility. What if all human minds are entangled? What if our thoughts, our emotions, are rippling across an invisible network affecting not just ourselves, but each other? This isn't just philosophy, folks. Some studies have suggested strange statistical anomalies in human behavior during major global events, almost like millions of minds suddenly synchronize. In some unknown way, could this explain mass hysteria? Cultural trends? Why ideas seem to spread like wildfire across entire populations? And here's where things take an even darker turn. Because if entanglement is real at the human level, then how much of what you think is yours is actually coming from someone else? So if two entangled particles, light years apart, can influence each other instantly, then what does that say about us? Are our minds operating in isolation? Or are we all part of something much, much bigger? Because if consciousness really is entangled, if we are all linked in ways we don't yet understand, then maybe we were never really alone to begin with. If consciousness isn't just a byproduct of the brain, then what the heck is it? This is where things take a turn from neuroscience to full-blown sci-fi. Enter ORC-OR theory, one of the wildest and most controversial ideas in modern science, and I love it. Sir Roger Penrose, a legendary physicist, and Dr. Stuart Hameroff, an anesthesiologist who has spent decades studying the nature of consciousness, believe we've been thinking way too small. They argue that inside every neuron, in the tiny microtubules, little structures once thought to be nothing more than biological scaffolding, something strange is happening. Quantum effects. Now, if they're right, then our brains aren't just biological computers running on neurons. They are quantum processors. And if that's true, then our thoughts, our awareness, our very consciousness isn't just trapped inside our skulls. It's connected to something bigger. Maybe even a universal consciousness field. All right, let's pause for a second. Because at this point, skeptics love to roll their eyes and say, come on, consciousness is just neurons, chemical reactions, etc. We understand how the brain works. Except we don't. Not really. Neuroscience can explain how thoughts travel through synapses, how memories are stored, how emotions are triggered. But no scientist, not one, has ever explained how self-awareness actually emerges from brain matter. It's called the hard problem of consciousness. And ORC-OR suggests we've been looking in the wrong place. Instead of the brain creating consciousness, it might just be receiving it, like an antenna tuning into a signal that was always there.
Oh, great. So my entire existence might just be a really bad Wi-Fi signal from the universe. Fantastic. That explains why my thoughts keep buffering every time I try to make a serious decision. Somebody reboot my brain router, please.
It's a radical idea, but it's not without evidence. Studies in anesthesia show that when consciousness switches off, brain activity doesn't gradually fade away. It collapses abruptly. It's almost like someone unplugging a signal rather than the brain itself shutting down. And guess what? Hameroff, the anesthesiologist behind ORC-OR, believes this is proof that consciousness isn't being produced by the brain. It's being filtered through it. And if that's true, then we have a much bigger question. If consciousness doesn't originate in the brain, then where the heck does it come from? This is where things get even stranger. Because if consciousness isn't confined to the brain, if it exists in some kind of quantum field, then that means it isn't bound by time. And if it isn't bound by time, then what we experience as intuition, deja vu, and even near-death experiences might not be random. They could be glimpses, tiny fragments of a larger reality that we're only occasionally tuning into. And that raises a chilling possibility. If our minds aren't just observing reality, but actually shaping it, then how much of what we call real is actually being generated by us? All right, so let's say quantum consciousness is real just for a minute. What does that actually mean for us? Because if it's true, then everything we think we know about reality, free will, and even death just got a major software update. And some of the consequences? They are downright terrifying. Let's start with intuition. Ever had a moment where an answer just pops into your head out of nowhere? Like, you weren't even thinking about it, but suddenly, boom, there it is. Some researchers believe that these sudden insights aren't random at all. That our consciousness, if it's really tapping into larger quantum fields, might be pulling information from outside the brain. Think about it. If Schrödinger's equation suggests that reality itself is shaped by observation, and if consciousness is somehow connected to quantum mechanics, then what does that say about free will? Are we actually making choices? Or are we just playing out possibilities in an infinite quantum landscape? And if that's true, then here's where things take a dark turn. Because if enough people focus on the same thought, does that thought have power? Could belief itself influence reality? We know from history that entire civilizations have been shaped by shared beliefs. Wars have been fought over them. Nations have risen and fallen. But what if belief isn't just a psychological phenomenon? What if human consciousness itself is acting like a collective quantum force? And if that's true, then what happens when billions of people start focusing on the same thing?
Oh, fantastic. So now I have to worry that every dumb thought I've ever had might be messing with the fabric of reality. Great. Somewhere out there, in some quantum dimension, there's probably a universe where pineapple pizza is the dominant life form. And guess what? That's on me.
But here's where things get really strange. Some researchers suggest that consciousness isn't just an individual experience. It might extend beyond the self. A single mind? That's one thing. But what if all minds are connected in ways we don't fully understand? And if that's true, then here's the question that should send a chill down your spine. What happens when enough people focus on the same idea? For centuries, mystics and philosophers have argued that belief itself has power, that the collective thoughts of millions or even billions might be able to shape more than just opinions. What if they shape reality itself? Now, normally, science dismisses this as spiritual nonsense. But here's the thing, there's data that suggests something very real is happening. In multiple mass consciousness experiments, researchers have observed the bizarre correlations between global events and shifts in random data generators. It's as if when enough people are emotionally or mentally synchronized, probability itself starts behaving differently. Now, ask yourself, what if that's not coincidence? What if human thought is subtly shaping the world around us? And if that's true, then here's the next question. If consciousness exists outside the brain, if it's part of something bigger, if it's connected to a field that doesn't end with the body, then what happens when we die? Most of us have been taught that death is an ending, that when the body shuts down, awareness ceases to exist. But if quantum consciousness is real, then that isn't what happens. Because if consciousness is part of a universal quantum field, if it's not confined to the brain, then when the body dies, consciousness doesn't disappear. It returns to the field it came from, like a ripple falling back into the ocean. And that brings us to the final chilling thought. If human thought is connected, if enough people believe in something at the same time, then how much of what we call reality is actually just a shared illusion, a dream we're all dreaming together? All right, we've gone deep into the unknown. We've explored the science, the experiments, the theories, all leading to one unavoidable truth. We don't understand consciousness. Not really. We've mapped the brain, we've decoded DNA, we've even started bending the laws of physics and quantum mechanics. And yet, the one thing that defines who we are, the very essence of existence itself, we have no idea where it comes from or where it goes. And that raises a question that science can't answer, a question that might be more important than anything we've ever asked. Is consciousness something we create or something we're just tuning into? Because if it's the latter, if the mind is merely a receiver rather than a generator, then that means you, me, and every person who has ever lived are part of something far greater than we ever imagined. And that's where the real shock sets in. Because if consciousness is universal, if awareness exists beyond the body, then death isn't an end. It's just a change in frequency, a shift from one reality to the next. But here's where things get even weirder. If thoughts can shape reality, if belief can influence the quantum field, then what happens when an entire species starts believing in the same thing? What if the universe itself is conscious? And what if it's been waiting for us to notice? All right, you made it to the end. I'm Ralph. That's Wendell, who, by the way, is still salty about humanity in general. And this has been another crazy ride on Divergent Files. If you laughed, learned something, or just didn't totally hate this, smash that like button, hit subscribe, and poke all the buttons that make the YouTube algorithm gods happy. I know, you hear this from every YouTuber ever, but seriously, it's the difference between us keeping the lights on or Wendell having to moonlight as a car wash mascot. Now, a big old shout out to our Patreon crew. Seriously, you're the real MVPs. Without you, Wendell would be drinking discount coffee and I'd be editing videos on a laptop held together with duct tape. If you're not part of the team yet, you can join us for as little as $3 a month and you'll get some access to some awesome perks like exclusive behind the scenes content, early access, extended episodes, and sneak peeks at upcoming projects. Plus, you'll be helping us dive into even more wild and fascinating topics we couldn't otherwise tackle. Head on over to patreon.com/divergentfiles to check out what's waiting for you. Oh, and get this, we're not just a YouTube channel, we're also in your ears now. Check out Divergent Files Project Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It's got extended episodes, unfiltered content, some deep dives into stuff that YouTube would totally freak out about if we uploaded it here. Seriously, if you think we push boundaries on YouTube, wait until you hear what we unleash over there. Here's the deal, folks. You're not just an audience. You're the lifeblood of this channel. Your curiosity, your wild theories, your random comments, they are what keep this thing alive. Got an idea for a video? Drop it below. I read them all, yes. Even the unhinged ones, and who knows, your idea might be next on deck. So here's the takeaway. The world is weird, the stories are weirder, and we're just trying to make sense of it all. Thank you for sticking with us, for showing up, and for being part of this wild experiment. Until next time, stay curious, stay kind, and remember, you are truly appreciated.
Now go grab some meat, throw it on the grill, and while you're at it, tell your neighbor about Divergent Files, preferably before you've had too many beers and start talking their landscaping again.